Amen. Let's go to John 3. Power within. John 3, verse 16 and 17 out of the Voice Bible reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. And I don't ever want us to forget that our job is to be rescue workers. Not information operators. Okay. Rescue workers. Doesn't matter what happened to the person. All that matters is we have the cure. That's all that matters. Amen? Go with me, please, to Matthew 16. Very familiar scripture. I reference it practically every time I'm in front of you. I promise you I do know more scriptures than this one. All right? But Jesus asked his disciples a question. You know, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him some answers. You know, some say you're John the Baptist, one of the prophets. But then the way I like to put it is he asked them the only question that really mattered. He said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father in heaven." So he's saying, Simon, God gave you this revelation. He said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Say this with me. "And the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it." Right? "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Folks, that means no matter what comes or how it comes, if you say the word, it's bound. That's what that scripture is designed to do. We have the keys. Just like I can lock those doors right now, I can take my keys, lock those doors, nobody can come in here unless they have keys. And I don't care who it is. If I keep the door locked and they don't have keys, they are not coming in. And if I want to let them in, I just unlock the door. And we need to understand that it said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That means heaven will not allow it if you don't allow it. Period. And we don't always see that as a period type statement. But there are some conditions to that. And I hadn't thought about them until this morning. But Jesus gave us keys so we would have unlimited access to everything that heaven has for us. Unlimited. That means keys should never stop working. And he should never run out of what we need. Never. That means whatever has to bind never runs out of strength, keeps it bound. Why? Because we said so, and we were given the keys to do it. So we were empowered to do it. And Mark 11 says that if you speak to the mountain and you don't doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. You will. Not you might. You will. Doesn't matter how big, bad, or ugly the thing is. If you speak the right words in faith, you'll have what you say. Period. See, the problem is we're having what we say because we're speaking the wrong things in faith. I remember one time we were up in Pennsylvania for a picnic. I think it was a family day. And it looked like it was going to rain. And I was ministering, and before we left, we prayed and spoke to the weather. And said, now let's go out and have a picnic. Folks got into arguments leaving the building because some wanted to put everything away because it was going to rain. And others were saying, we just prayed, it's not going to rain. And they're getting into arguments on it. Deacon Phil said, we got in the car and left to go to the store. And when we left, it had started drizzling on the property. And I'm like, I am not speaking to this rain. I've spoken to the people. And if the people want a picnic in the rain, that's fine with me. Our property was the only property where it was raining. I drove out the gate, made the left up the wigwam, turned right on wigwam, dry as a bone. We went down 611, went to stores, no rain. Drive back to the village, rain. Rain, why? We were having what we said. So we need to understand, folks, principles work. That's why you need to make sure that you understand them so that you can operate them purposely and properly. Because if you don't know about a principle, it is still going to work. See, what happens is we have these keys to the kingdom of heaven, and they don't seem to be opening any doors. They don't seem to be binding and loosing. And we get frustrated and we start wondering what's going on. Well, we know it can't be the word because the word is absolutely true. So it has to be something else. And one of the things that I do is that when something is not working properly, I start backtracking to see what I'm doing. Am I operating properly? You know, I'm driving along, and all of a sudden where I am doesn't look familiar. I'm like, okay, I missed a turn somewhere. Or I don't recognize the way that the GPS system is taking me. Or what happens most of the time, the GPS is telling me to go one way, but I know. Right. So I go someplace different. Okay. But in Ephesians 3, I'm going to read verses 14 to 21. Paul wrote, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit," where? In the inner man. "That Christ may dwell," where? In your hearts. So it would be strengthened in our inner man, and he wants Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power. Say the whole thing. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. Amen. Now we have a very good time with the first part of that scripture. We're happy that it says that God'll do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, and we quote it all the time, but we don't see it. And we don't walk in it. But we keep saying it. And the reason we keep saying it and we're not seeing it is because we forget the latter half of that verse. According to the power that worketh in you. The question is, what's at work in you and me? That's the question. How many of you, honestly, it's not a trick question, and I need you to be honest. How many of you, you believe that you operate according to the will of God? It's not a trick question. Everybody, some of you, so you mean you know you don't operate in the will of God? You do this thing deliberately? I mean, what happens is that, you know that thing, the hokey pokey? Put your left foot in, put the left foot out. I started with the left. Okay, I know. But that's what happened. We're in and out. We're in and out. How could that be? You have to really think about this. How could that be if God is active on the inside of us? How could that be? Does it mean that, you know, our impulses overtake the spirit that's in us? Is it that strong that our carnal nature is so strong it can just override the spirit of God in us? Is that what we think? No, you can talk to me. Is that what we think? No, but so we gotta find out, why is this happening? It said unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that word according means in agreement with. He said he'll work all these things. He'll work exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think in agreement with the Spirit that's at work in you. If the Spirit at work in you is not his Spirit, you think God's going to get in agreement with that? No. And we need to understand that. And I don't believe there's a person in this room that opens the door and says, come on in, devil, I'm ready for you. I want to spend some time with you. No. What happens is we haven't stayed connected. We haven't stayed connected. And because we are not connected, we're trying to do things in our own strength. Using an analogy this afternoon, I'll ask you the same question. How many of you have a cell phone or smartphone, electronic device, and while you were using it, it lost power? Just went dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got annoyed with it. What's wrong with this thing? Okay. Why did it lose power? Why did it go dead? It was not connected to a power source. And we were operating under its own power. And see, that's what we do. We don't stay connected. Turn to John 15. Because we don't stay connected to the vine. And when we don't stay connected, we're operating on our own power source. Well, we don't have unlimited power. Ours is very limited. And we can't put these supercharged batteries in us to keep the power. No, we have to stay connected. In John 15, Jesus said, let me get to it. Oh, I'm way ahead. He said, I am the what? The true vine. I am the true vine. Then he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will, and what'll happen? It'll be done. But there is a condition. You have to be abiding in him, and he has to be abiding in you. Go back quickly to Ephesians 3. We're going to come back to John. Let's see if I can see this. Okay. want to show you, read this in some other translations just to make a point. The Wade translation says, to him who is able to transcend all limits, to do far in excess of all we request or imagine, in virtue of his power, which is active in us. And I like that because it's telling us whose power should be active in us. He says it should be his power. The Weymouth says, to him who in the exercise of his power that is at work within us is able to do infinitely beyond all our highest prayers or thoughts. Infinitely beyond if we're allowing his power to be the power that's at work in us all of the time. And the Johnson translation says, now to God who can do by the power that exists in us greater things than we were ever able to imagine or request. The God whose power exists in us. We need to understand that his power resides in us and doesn't just reside in us, but is active. It's very active in us. See, how many of you own an automobile? Okay. Do you just get in the car and drive off? Do you?
No.
You have to have the keys. But you can go to that car, get in it, sit down, put the key in the ignition, and turn it. And if there's no fuel in it, it's not going anywhere, even though you have the keys. As a matter of fact, it can be fully fueled, but your battery is dead. You're still not going anyplace because there is no power. You have to have fuel. You have to have power. And if it's a real cold day, you better make sure you have enough power. In car batteries, they're called cold cranking amps. And if you have one and it doesn't have any cold cranking amps, you're going to be cold and cranky because you're not going anywhere. And again, we get mad with the machine. What's the matter with you? Why won't you start? You're the one that didn't take care of me. Well, we make a prayer and we're expecting to see exceedingly above whatever we pray about. Is that we don't see anything. And we get upset. And we look and we say, God, you said if I bind it on earth, it's bound in heaven. And I bound it on earth, Lord. And I bind it right now in Jesus' name. But you forgot that you just had an argument with your spouse and we're calling each other all kinds of names. You forgot that. And you didn't do anything about it. So whose power is at work in you? You need to think about it. God can't get in agreement with that. Doesn't the word say if you're bringing your gift to the altar and you realize that you have ought against your brother, what does it tell you to do? Leave the gift and go and take care of business. Last Wednesday, Bishop Watson came by. After service, he came, he said he just needed 5 minutes, and he said, I need to apologize for what happened 3 years ago. He said, I realize some things, and he said, God has been on my case, and it's been affecting the way I've been ministering. Why? Outside of God's will. Why? The right power wasn't at work. He wanted to get it fixed. And we were willing. We told you that eventually there's going to be a reconciliation. Didn't we tell you that in the beginning? But we said it was going to be in God's time. And we're going to receive everything that God has because we are one body. One body. But he said, God told him, you don't have to lose your brothers over this because we were developing a friendship or a brothership, if whatever that ship was, we were developing it. Okay. But if we have something other than the power of God and the Spirit of God going on inside us, God is not going to get in agreement with that. Can you imagine if he did? We're not thinking right, and he does exceedingly abundantly above that. See, we think that means he'll make it all good. No, he'd have to make it even deeper than it was. He's not going to do that. So nothing will happen. And the Holy Ghost will keep prompting you, you need to get this fixed. You need to get this fixed. You need to get this fixed. And you start, God told me join the youth department. And I was like, God, you're on drugs. Sniffing angel dust. I said, I am not joining the youth department. No. So if you have something for ages 6 to 10, I'm your guy. But they have teenagers in the youth department. And they don't listen. And I don't handle not listening well. You know. I said, but you're telling me to join, so you must want me to serve. Okay, I joined the host. So I'm serving. I'm in position every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday. Anytime they asked for a volunteer for the parking lot, my hand went up. I didn't care. I'm serving. I ain't in the youth department. Stuff in my marriage started to happen. And I'm blaming my wife. And it's not her. It's me. And I'm like, God, you need to do something. He said, I told you to join the youth department. He said, I'm serving. He said, I told you, join the youth department. Then I'm still not listening. I still have this other power at work in me. Okay. I'm just telling you how it was. And I have to go to a meeting, you know, because the youth department, they wanted to have a meeting with all the parents, and we had children going to the youth department, so we went to the meeting. Melvin Duckenfield was the youth director, he and his wife, Norma. And one of the things they did is they started introducing all of the team members. And I saw this woman, and this woman, and this woman, and this woman, and this woman. And then I saw Floyd Cray come up. And I'm like, God, where are all the men? Guess what he said to me? I told you to join the youth department. I mean, I was indignant. I was like, where are all the men? These boys don't need all these women telling them how to be a man. Where are all the men? Like, God, this isn't right. That's what I'm telling God. He's like, I told you, join the youth department. So I joined the youth department. Immediately, my wife got better. No, she really did. And I'm serious. Because I wasn't doing things to bring out the worst in her. Some of you didn't get that. Okay. I was out of the will of God. The power that was at work in me was not his spirit, because I was in rebellion. And everything that associates itself with rebellion was associating itself within my household. The minute I got in agreement with God, it stopped. Things started listening to me when I spoke. You know, my wife and I, we were talking about this a couple of nights ago, because I came in Monday. Monday was my day off, but I agreed to come in because Pastor and I need to go over something, but the agreement was I'm not staying past 4:30. And I said to my wife, we're meeting from 1:30 to 4:30. Now, I used to say that and get home at 20 to 6 because the meeting gets long, and, well, she'll understand. you know, it's ministry business. No, I lied to her. God said to me, when are you going to stop lying to your wife? I'm like, lying to my wife? Lord, what are you talking about? You told her you'd be home by this time. I'm like, but this, you told her you would be home. So I said, 4:30, I'm leaving. Took out my phone, set an appointment for 4:30, give me an alert 5 minutes before. 4:25, beep, beep. I said, okay, we got 4 minutes. And at 4:30, I left. I said, I am not lying to my wife anymore. Period. But we were talking about that because she was kind of surprised to see me because she had gotten used to me not keeping my word. But we were talking about that, and she said, when you think about it, if you don't keep your word to you, how are you going to have what you say? Your spirit's not going to know if you mean it. You need to think about that. You say, okay, I'm going to give up sweets for 2 weeks. Okay, I guess I'll start next week since I missed that day. Okay. Your spirit's ready to go. But you like these dark chocolate covered. So I'll just eat one. You were right. You just forgot to put box next to it. Okay. But your spirit can't trust you. And then you get to the point where you can't trust you because you start saying, I always say I'm going to do this, and then I don't do it. And you believe that with your heart. Right. And you have what you say. Exactly. And we keep having that kind of power at work in us. We have to do something about that because we should be speaking. And wherever a storm is, after we speak, it should stop dead in its tracks. Stop, I mean, hey, if you say, sun, stay there, and it stays, then why can't you say, hurricane, dissipate, and it dissipates? But you have one thing Pastor Clinton taught us. We are not living the kind of life that those Old Testament folks lived. Amen. They had the power of God operating within them all of the time. So whenever they spoke, it was just as if it was God himself speaking. That's, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. So God is saying, we're going to make a being who's going to operate exactly like us. So that means if God can stop it, we can stop it. We can stop it. But we have to live the life like God. God always has his power operating in him. And he told us, stay connected to the vine, because apart from the vine, we can do nothing. Nothing. The Amplified Bible says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask what you will and it will be done. Well, when you think about that term, abide vitally united, you know what I did? I looked up vitally, of utmost importance. Live with God as if it is the utmost importance. It says fundamentally concerned with or affecting life or living. So we're to live united with Christ as if it were the utmost importance to our very existence, that it was necessary for our being able to maintain life. How many of you try and live your life, any portion of your life, without breathing? No. Because the minute you stop breathing, if you do that long enough, you're going to stop living. Okay. So you act as if breathing is vitally important to your life, because it is. So is abiding with Christ. We sing that song, "In Him we live and move and have our being." We need to turn that song into an action. But just God said to me this way. He said, "Let me make it plain. You are to remain closely united with Christ because your life depends on it." I think I said that makes it plain. Okay. Then the scripture says, "And my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts." And I start thinking about that. So, okay, when something remains, it means it's left behind. But when something lives, there are two meanings to that. It means it's full of life, because it's living. It's full of life. Full of life. And it means it makes its abode. See, God's word is to stay in our bodies. It's to stay within us. It's to live and move and be active in our hearts. Some of us have it in our body. Just like, you know, Pastor Sarah's, she remains in the church. She lives in the Anna Suite. She doesn't live in the rest of the building. All action is in the Anna Suite. But in order to get to there, she first has to be in here. It's in our body. It was given to us. You don't have a choice. You became born again, Spirit of God is in you. Whether it gets to live in your heart depends on you. Whether or not you and me decide to let it come into our hearts. Because when it comes into our hearts and becomes active, guess what it becomes? The abundance of our heart. And then we're going to produce whatever we speak. But if we don't allow it to get in our hearts, it'll never become the abundance of our heart. And we find ourselves speaking about things instead of two things, because we don't have the power to speak to them, because we've allowed ourselves to run dry. Where do you see this one? Romans 12. Very familiar verse. I'm not going to read 1 and 2. I'm going to read it in the Johnson paraphrase. Just looking at time, I'm not going to read several scriptures. I'm just going to get right down to the real nitty gritty. Johnson paraphrase. "With a vision then of the ultimate fulfillment of all things, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to offer your whole self to God with no strings attached." Listen, this is what he says next. "Genuine worship is a reasonable response for you to make to him." So now let's think about what he just said to us. He just told us that genuine worship is not we get real happy during a fast song and dance all over the place, roll all over the floor, and don't care who sees us. Genuine worship is not a good slow song comes on and we fall down to the floor and we're crying and snotting and just in high worship. No, that's not genuine worship. Genuine worship is offering your whole self to God with no strings attached. That means, God, I'll go, but I know you called me. That's me. Okay, God, yeah, I'll join the youth, but ages 8 to 10 or 6 to 10. strings attached. Condition, God, yeah, I'll do what you say, but I'm going to do it under my terms. These are the conditions of my obedience. But that's what we, and he's telling us, that's not genuine worship. Genuine worship means you offer every inch of everything that makes you you to God unconditionally. Period. And we don't think about whether or not we're comfortable. All we think about is, I'm giving my all to my God. Period. Do what you want to do with me. Because I have your power resident in me. And I know you're going to take that, you're going to get in agreement with that power and do exceedingly abundantly above whatever I ask or even think. So why wouldn't I give myself unconditionally to God? No strings attached. None. See, if one of the things that happens, we don't mean for it to happen, but we just allow it to happen. You know, it seems that believers have a hard time with this whole forgiveness piece. Okay. And we'll say, I'll forgive. But we won't come or go around the person anymore. We won't. See, I'll forgive, but I'll never trust them again. You're telling God, okay, I'm going to do what you say, God, up to a point. And you should understand this because you knew they were going to do that. I don't understand since you knew why you'd let them around me in the first place, but we'll talk about that another time. Okay. But that's what we do. And we don't consciously sit down and think, well, this is what I'm going to do, but that's what we do. That's the way we respond to things. And I want you to ask yourself, what power is at work when you're doing that? It can't be the power of God, because the Bible clearly tells us God is love. And love always chooses to believe the best of everybody. So if I'm not choosing to believe the best of everybody, what spirit, what power is at work in me? It's not God. And it's not godly. How can I expect God to do exceedingly abundantly above that? He can't get in agreement with it. And you know what? I'm glad he can't. Because I can imagine how this world would be if he got in agreement with all of the stuff that we think about that's not of him. All of the people that would be dead. No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny. But we have to give our whole self, spirit, soul, thoughts, bodies, ideas, emotions. We have to give it all to God. No strings attached. He said, that's what genuine worship is. So if we get over into genuine worship, we're always going to have the right spirit, the right power at work in us. Because we can't give genuine worship in any other state. And it's not something it's really not that hard to do. The hardest part about it is making a choice that this is the way I'm going to live my life. And then being disciplined enough to live it. Can't be like we do with other things. You know, I'm going to the gym 4 times a week, you know, and well, I thought it was only going to be 70 degrees today, but it's 68, so it's too cold. I'll see what the temperature is tomorrow. This bed feels so comfortable. You know, I mean, you know, all those excuses that we use, but what we need to understand is that we are lying to ourselves. We have to stop giving conditions for our obedience. You know, this isn't like the military where they have, you say, okay, I'm going to surrender, but these are my terms. Like, no, I don't want your surrender. I want your submission. Period. You submit to me, to God, totally. with no conditions, no strings attached, not knowing. All you know is that he's going to work it together for your good. That's all you know. I like what Pastor Lewis said when God told them to relocate. They said they're going to jump off the mountain and go up. I mean, that's what we have to expect. We're just going to step off. We're not even going to look and see if there's anything there. If God says go, we're just going to go. That's all. We're not going to ask questions. How am I going to get there? Where am I going to live? How am I going to take care of myself? He said, I thought you were my child. I told you all these things the Gentiles seek. Doesn't it say, seek ye the kingdom of God and its righteousness? See, so there are two things there. You could find the kingdom, but you have to go out after the righteousness of the kingdom. It's not a package deal. God could have made it that way, but no, he wants us to have a choice. You see the kingdom of God. You see everything that's available to you in the kingdom. All the promises in the kingdom. All you have to do to access them is seek after its righteousness. So that means whatever the Bible says we're supposed to do, we do. We don't even have to think about it. We don't have to figure out if it's right or wrong. We do it and say, okay, I'm feeling some kind of way about this. Okay. Colossians, yeah, okay. Put off all malice and anger. Okay, I got my answer. I put it off. Done. But I'm still feeling some kind of way. Well, what? Maybe I stopped too slow. Oh, put on. All right. Okay. Tells me what to take off, but it tells me what to replace it with. Some of us, we're very good with putting off, but we have to be just as good as putting on our heavenly garments. Because once we're dressed, you're dressed. What do they say? Dressed to the nines. I don't know why I picked that number, but you're dressed. You're very, very mindful about where you go. You're very, very mindful about, you know, how you conduct yourself when you're sitting in, because you don't want to spill anything on you. You don't want to, you know, you're looking good and you want to stay that way. When we get dressed up in our heavenly clothing, we need to have the same attitude. We want to go where it's supposed to go, but we want to make sure everybody knows, everybody can see Christ in me. Because not only have I put on the right things, I have him at work in my heart. And what people see is a reflection of what's going on within me. Not what's going on externally. They're seeing what's going on within. And we have to understand that. We live from the inside out. That's the way God wants it. Because he wants us to speak the word, and he wants to get in agreement with it and do exceedingly abundantly above. But it's always going to be according to the power that's at work in us, and the power at work in us ought to always be him. And the only way we can make sure that we do that is that we stay connected to the vine. The verse 3 in I think it's in Romans, but in the Johnson Transit, yeah, it's in Romans. It says, don't pattern your lives after the culture around you. We've been guilty of that within the last couple of years. We got caught up in all the election nonsense, and now we're caught up in all the political stuff going on. says, don't pattern your life after the culture around you. Rather, permit the Spirit of God within to transform your being and behavior by uniting your deepest thoughts and feelings with your actions so that you demonstrate God's intention, which is positive, acceptable, and fulfilling. See, when we give way to the Spirit within, it will make sure our actions line up with it. But we have to permit it to happen. We have to. I mean, it's probably like, my wife said that she can't wait until they get this Uber thing down because she's looking forward to being in her 90s. And we just call the place and get in, say where we want to go, to no driver, just takes us where we want to go. You don't have to worry about driver's license, eye test, any of that stuff. Just get in the car and just go. Well, you have to permit, in order for that to happen, you have to permit that car to do what it was designed, what it was sent to do, to pick you up at one place and take you to your destination. Well, that's what we have to do with the Spirit of God within us. We have to allow it to take us to the destination God has set for us. And we have to leave our two cents out of it. No, seriously. We have to get out of it. I always went, did it this way, God. Like he didn't know. But we have to get to that place, folks, because there's a world that's dependent on us. And some of them don't even know it. But they need a group of believers that will stop destruction in its path. They'll just stop. Period. I told the folks this afternoon, I stayed home to listen to our president address the United Nations. And I was listening to his stance against those that have bad intentions against this country. But my heart went to the civilians in those countries. And even to their military. Because everybody in North Korea doesn't think the way of the president. And we need to be mindful about the adjectives we use to describe him. Because we're saying those things in faith and we're having what we say. Yeah, a crazy person will send nuclear weapons. So why are we going to, why, you need to think about that. So he's a nut. When he starts acting like it, Jesus doesn't call him a nut. You know what he is? An opportunity. For a believer to lead him to God through Jesus Christ. He needs to see the power of a believer and see that the power of the believer is greater than any weapon he could create. Do we believe that the name of Jesus is above any name that's named? What's his name? The name of Jesus is above it. So it doesn't matter who he is or who she is. We have to be about people. We read it practically before every teaching. For God so loved the world. Doesn't say except the countries that have dictators. God so loved the world that he gave. And while I think, yes, it takes a lot of courage to stand up there and your enemies are present, and you look at them and you say, we don't want to, but if we have to, we will completely destroy you. my heart goes out to the people of that nation. Because we have some very good technology, but it can't just get one person in the midst of a crowd. There's a whole lot of collateral damage. And why would we as believers want anyone to spend eternity in hell? But if we keep referring to them in all of those other terms other than their given names, that's what could happen to them. And I'll tell you something. It's not worth me having to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer as to why I put those words out, because the Bible says we will have to give an account for every idle word. Every word that we speak that does not line up with Him, we're going to have to give an account. I don't know about you. I don't want to do that. I can't. There is nothing, you've heard me say this, there's nothing we could say to God. You think about it, at the judgment seat of Christ, what are we going to say? And Jesus is going to say, okay, yeah, I understand. I didn't think of that. You know, never thought of it that way. Father, did you think of it that way? He said, no, son, I didn't think of it that way. No, I'm not, I don't want to put myself in that position. When all I have to do is one of two things, either keep my mouth shut or release the right words. And really, I think I need to release the right words, because if I keep my mouth shut when I'm supposed to speak, I'm going to have to give an account for that also. So either way, we have a responsibility to the people in this world, all of them. And if we have the right spirit working within us, we'll do it. And it won't be an issue. It won't be anything that's hard. It will come naturally to us, because that's who we really are. And with that, I'm going to unhook. If we're going to talk more about this, it'll have to be on Sunday. But I just want us to understand, we're spirit beings. We're very powerful people. We really are. But our power is dependent on the power that's at work in us. And if it's not the right power at work in us, we are not going to get the results that God promised or that God wants. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I just jump into prayer because, well, you just filled me with this. Lord, we just thank you for all of these people and all their precious hearts. Their desire, Lord, is to do your will. Their desire is to offer themselves wholly to you with no strings attached. None. So I thank you that by your Spirit, you will, as you so lovingly do, just show us, just remind us of areas. You say, well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't do that. And when we hear those promptings, we yield, because we want to get it right. There's a world at stake here. And we know one way or another, through us or through others, you're going to have this world in the shape that you want it. And since we're here, it might as well be through us. So we just thank you for the trust that you've placed in us to have us on this planet during this season. And we just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for what we are going to accomplish individually and corporately as your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody here who's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior? I mean, I recognize I've seen everyone here before, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know your spiritual condition. But if you haven't, I just need you to come up. I will lead you in a confession. Very brief confession. Won't embarrass you. But the word says, as you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. And you know something? I didn't read anything in the Bible where it said you have to do it publicly. I didn't read where it said you don't have to do this whole long prayer. Jesus, I believe that you're God's son. And I want you to come in my life. I surrender my life to you. You're saved. It's really that simple. You know, if we're going to look at just what the Bible says, it's that simple. And I'm for keeping things simple. People like to do things that are simple. It's easy. It's just like people think they have to go through this long, drawn-out process if they've done something wrong and they want to get back right with God. You don't have to do that. You have to say, Father, I repent. I'm coming back to you. He says, welcome. Finished. Not going to say, I'm going to watch you for 2 years. See if you really mean it this time. No. This could have been your 685th time doing it. God's never going to say, yeah, right. So you tell me you mean it this time? No, he just receives us. Well, that's the way we need to be with people. That's the way we need to be with each other. We just receive each other. Welcome each other. To me, I'm happy that you came back. Doesn't matter to me what you did or why you left. What's important is that you came back. And we need to get excited when people come back. You need to get excited personally when they come back. And let them always conduct yourself that the door is open to come back. Some of us, Pastor Clinton used to say, we need to fix our face. Because the people that are coming back, you say, yeah, I want them to come back. And they're like, and they're like, are you sure it's okay? Didn't I tell you to come on? No. No, you just stand there. Come on. Come on back. And they're like, but don't even think about it. Come on back. That's what the father of the prodigal son did. Say, here, put my bracelet on. Has my name on it. You belong to me. That's fine. As a matter of fact, if you remember, it says that he saw him coming afar off. How do you see someone coming afar off? You're looking for them. You're expecting them to come back. And you can't wait for them to get back there at their own pace. So you got to run to meet them and just grab them and hug them. That's what the world needs to see in the church. They think we turned their nose up at them. And they're right. That's what's happened. Called all kinds of names. People going on the air and saying the reason these hurricanes have happened because you're a homosexual. And I'm like, my father didn't say that. My father, he still said the name of Jesus is above any name that's named. So that means... Even, let's say that a storm did come because there was a group of homosexuals someplace. Let's just say that happened. But there's a believer there that has the name of Jesus. The Bible still says the name of Jesus is above any name that's named. So that believer still has authority to quell the storm, regardless of why it showed up. But if we don't believe that, and if we're not living the God kind of life, we won't see those types of things happen. I believe this church is going to be known for those types of things happening. That's what I believe. And you all know me. I don't say anything just to say it. I don't believe in that. If I don't mean it, I'm not saying it. I'll let you know my secrets. Because if I don't believe it, I'll just say, okay. And go on. And really, I shouldn't even say that because it's not okay. But we have to say what we mean what we say, and always operate according to God's power, allowing it to have full reign to work within and through us. Amen?